what? No, it hasn't. Like, oh, yes, it has.
Fat expats.
Two fat expats.
Two fat expats.
Sarah, episode 3 of Yay. Two Fat Expats. Hello, everybody. Thank you for signing up. That was amazing.
It's gone a little bit viral.
Yeah.
Well, from our family and friends, we've gone viral.
That's right. I don't know if my mum's found it yet. We might have to do a few screenshots to show.
I'm going to have to FaceTime with my mum and walk her through it step by step.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah. So, says episode 3, we thought we'd kick off with a quite a controversial article posted in siliconafrica.com, written by Mawuna Katonin. And I guess it was a little bit controversial. The fact that he was talking about, well, the headline is, don't call them expats, they are immigrants like everyone else. And Mawuna was talking about his issue with the word expat.
Yeah.
And I think by about paragraph 3, he's thrown in the term white supremacy.
Yeah, which ruffled my feathers a little.
I think it ruffled a few feathers.
Using white supremacist was a little too harsh.
Yes.
And immigrant is a completely different definition to expat. An immigrant is someone that permanently leaves their home country and moves to another country to reside there permanently. An expat is someone that leaves their home temporarily to get a better job, a better lifestyle, what have you, in another country. So they're two completely different.
That's right. Well, I think to be an immigrant, you have to emigrate.
Yes.
So you have to know that you're leaving and you are going to become a resident and citizen of another country. Now, well, many of us don't have that privilege to do so.
No, definitely, we don't have the choice here.
Yeah, definitely not here. You know, unless you are a star soccer player who's going to play for the Qatari team
or a
handballer. You know, if you're just an ordinary Joe like us, you have no chance of being a Qatari.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know people in the community who've worked here and maybe their parents have worked here as well.
Yeah, I worked with a woman who, they're from Georgia. She was born and raised here. This is her home. Her father was one of the first engineers here in Qatar, and he can't get citizenship here, and they don't want to move back to Jordan. This is their home.
Yeah.
Yet when he retires, that's it. He's going to have to go back to Jordan, and the same for her when she retires.
Yeah. So I think my other issue with it was that I have obviously made friends in all the countries that we've lived in and made friends with what I would call other expats. And working with and travelling with a huge international firm that was employing people all over the world, we had friends who were Nigerian who definitely called themselves expats. We had friends who were Indian who definitely called themselves expats. I don't think it's a matter of race. I mean, in the article, Mawuna says that Africans are immigrants, Arabs are immigrants, Asians are immigrants. Well,
they're immigrants if they move permanently to another country, absolutely, as I would be if I moved to the UK.
Yeah, but in my mind, if they're just travelling through on a work permit for a short period of time,
they're expatriates.
They're expatriates.
Yeah.
I think why we can all understand where the tone of this is coming from is when you're talking about people migrating for work, you are getting, you know, the whole lock, stock and barrel.
Yeah.
And definitely where we are now, says in the Middle East, is that, you know, there are two sets of rules for people who are travelling with families and people who are travelling single.
Yeah.
What their title or tone is, I don't know. I think you and I both personally feel that everybody's an expat.
Absolutely.
If they're not.
I actually think the definition for migrant and expat is the same thing. It's someone that's temporarily moving country.
Yes.
To give themselves a better life, find a better job, a way of living.
Yeah.
I think where they differ is the connotation that people put on the word migrant and expat.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think it differs.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting article if you want to go and have a look. It's on siliconafrica.com. I think it was a great piece for getting a conversation started.
And it made me think. It really made me think about it because it did ruffle my feathers, and I actually had to read the article a few times and I got it. I got where he's coming from. But I don't 100% agree with what he said.
Okay, so on to other things we've discovered lately. So we were going to have a chat about podcasts, seeing that we now, I think, are quite addicted. I've been loving podcasts for, I guess, well, definitely the whole time I've been here. So over 5 really? Years. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think my first podcast, well, my first radio show that I fell in love with was This American Life, mm-hmm. which is not unusual. I mean, that's one so of my many favorites. People. Is,
and I didn't realize that it was a radio show before it became a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's public radio out of America, Ira Glass. So I was absolutely addicted to This American Life when I lived in North America. And that, I mean, it seems bizarre now, but back in the day where you time your car trip so that you could listen to This American Life going from A to B. And so when they switched to podcast, as an expat, that was just a no-brainer mm-hmm. that you were going to Absolutely. Download it, because all of a sudden you can be anywhere in the world and be listening to something that makes you, you know,
absolutely
go back to another point in time. That would have been my first one. And then my second one was in Australia, there is a podcast, Richard Feidler has mm-hmm. conversations where he talks to different people every day. And they can be absolutely run-of-the-mill, you know, on the land, wherever, or he's talking to an ex-prime minister. It doesn't seem to matter. And always interesting, always fascinating. I think the highlight for me was when Richard Feidler actually interviewed Ira Glass from This American Life.
That was and then podcast heaven for you.
Almost podcast porn. I think it was podcast porn. that my third one, which I think quite a few of our readers and listeners might be interested in, is the Australian Writers' Centre do a podcast, a woman called Valerie Koo and Alison Tate. And yes. Alison is a very successful author and blogger mm-hmm. and a freelance writer, and Valerie as well. And Valerie runs the Australian Writers' Centre. And their podcast is called So You Want to Be a Writer. And it covers writing, it covers blogging, but they also do fantastic author interviews.
Yes.
And if you're a reader, I don't think there's anything better than getting the background story from the author.
Yeah. I started listening to that podcast this week, and the first episode I loved because they were talking about how to behave when you go to networking events.
Right.
And they were talking about how writers tend to be quite insular people.
Yes.
That they can spend a lot of time on their own, happy with their own thoughts.
Absolutely.
Then they have to go to a networking event and put their happy face on and start mingling. I totally got that.
Yes.
Because I think I'm the same way. I get really nervous going to events where I have to go up to people and
talk. Yeah, you do.
Because I'm very happy in my own company.
Yes.
And I think it was Alison that said, treat it like it's your own party.
Yeah, so that's great advice.
I got that. So the next networking event, I'm going to own it.
It's your own party.
Yeah, it's my own party.
See, the thing with you, Sears, is yes, you are like that because I've been with you and seen mm-hmm. you.
You know
absolutely.
How nervous I get.
Yeah. But to see you on the dance floor.
Oh, own it.
Yeah.
Give me a stage of music. Like I could, if you said you have to do a one-woman show in front of, you know, 3,000 people.
You could do that?
Could do that. If you said to me, walk into that dinner party where you don't know anyone, sit down and have a conversation, dying.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah, so you're good at that. I'm not.
Oh.
And then I get nervous, I have a bit to drink, and then I say really inappropriate things.
Yeah, well, that's me. That's me.
We became friends. Because we met sitting next to each other at a dinner party.
We did.
Well, I'm sure I said completely inappropriate things, but that's okay.
No, you were great. I remember distinctly, like, really liking you.
Okay,
thinking,
good.
Oh, I like her. They're my sort of podcasts. What about you, Cez? Have you got any?
I love This American Life, but you got me onto podcasts, and the first one I listened to, which I think most of the world has been listening to lately, is Serial.
Oh, yes.
Obsessed.
How good. And the fact that is still going on, that Serial
is
still
number one, and it's finished.
That's right. Mm. And that we're all still talking about Ad-Man.
And someone said it's the greatest TV show you'll ever listen to. And it is like that. It was like listening to a CSI or a Criminal Minds, but it was real life.
Yes.
I was hooked.
And Sarah Koenig's voice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And talking about voices, the other podcast that I love listening to is Alec Baldwin, the Hollywood actor. He has a podcast called This Is The Thing with Alec Baldwin. And I listen to him going to sleep every night. He has got the most dreamy voice.
I bet he has.
Yeah, and he interviews celebrities, politicians, policymakers, artists, and he really asks some tough questions.
And he'd be able to get away with it, though, because he's a celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he's got a really great podcast.
So who are the, some of the people that he's interviewed?
Well, one of my favourites is Lena Dunham from Girls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she was so open and honest with him. I love her. The one I listened to the other night was Michael Douglas.
Uh-huh.
And it was in his home in New York City. They were just sitting on their his couch.
Fantastic.
And it was honestly like listening into a conversation between two old, you know, colleagues.
Yeah.
And halfway through the interview, I just thought it was... Because I think Michael Douglas, you think... I don't know, he was a bit of a sleaze during the day. You know, like, you know, he went to rehab for sex addiction and all. And I don't know, I just kind of... I can't picture him as the husband and the dad.
Yeah.
You know, with Kathy, I don't know, it just...
I always, when I think of Michael Douglas, I had actually kind of forgotten about Romance and the Stone and all of that with him, but I always think about Wall Street.
Love and it. And Greed, he talks, so he talks about that and how, like, drunk men will come up to him in the street and they're like, oh, Gordon Gekko, greed is good. He's like, if I had a dollar for every time some drunk idiot came up. And he was talking about how... people got into being working on Wall Street because of that movie, to be traded because of that movie.
And that was so awful.
I'm a bad person. Yeah. Like, I'm a really bad person.
Oh.
And he thought the amount of people that have come up to him and said, I got into trading because of that movie.
I wanted to be good. I wanted to,
yeah.
Well, that's scary.
But halfway through the interview, his young daughter comes in and just pops up onto the couch. She's finished school. And it was, and they, because something like that, you'd probably want to press cut and we'll come. But they know they kept it going. And she was talking about she's not allowed to watch Daddy's movies, but she's watched Romance in the Stone. And she actually had no idea what Daddy did because it was all about Mum, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones being in Chicago and all. So they knew Mummy was a movie star.
Uh-huh.
They had no clue about Dad and what Dad did.
He was just the old guy.
Well, she said, someone at school said, what does your father do? And she said, he makes pancakes. He's won two Oscars. And I just, it was just so, he was really likable. Yeah, so Alec Baldwin, here's the thing.
What else have you seen around lately, Says? Anything? Because you're a big Instagrammer.
Yes. Now, my favourite Instagram account at the moment is an account called Crazy Jewish Mum.
You should see the look on your face right now. Like, you are really enjoying Crazy Jewish Mum.
I love
it
because I think that's going to be me with Sadie.
Yeah, possibly.
So Crazy Jewish Mum is an account set up by this young woman who I think she must be an only child, like Sadie. I think that's where I relate. And her mum is obsessed with her daughter. So she sends her all of these crazy text messages and her daughter screenshots them and puts them up on Instagram.
And do we know if the mother knows that this happens? Does she?
I don't know. I reckon maybe she, I think now, because it's gone a bit viral.
Yeah, she'd have to know.
So she'd have to know.
Yeah.
And
you and I kind of differ on this. I'm not sure if I'm really believing it.
I want to believe that she's real, that that's a real mother-daughter relationship and those text messages are genuine, that they're not doing it.
Yeah, because it is the stereotypical Jewish mother, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this, I mean, one of the funniest things she's done, this girl actually has a boyfriend, but her mother... So there's internet dating sites and there's one called JDate for Jewish people to meet other Jewish people. Her mother set up a fake account pretending to be her daughter and set up dates.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think I would ever go that far with Sadie, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe I did that.
Did you have... Or do you have? Because I mean, your mum's in Sydney.
Yes.
Does she have a huge kind of influence on your life?
She does. My mum doesn't interfere, but I want my mum to interfere.
Right. How do you want her to interfere?
I ask her everything. I ask her opinion on most things.
Oh wow.
And she's really, my mum just gets it. Like, she will meet some of my friends, especially. So when she comes to visit, I've had friends for say a year, and then my mum meets them when she comes to visit. And my mum will say to me, no, that's not the right friend for you. Or I'll have a friend and then maybe I don't see them anymore. Mum's like, yeah, I could have told you that. And so she has really good
intuition.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
And she, my sister and I, so my mum and my sister only live sort of 5-10 minutes apart, but we all have this text message group between the three of us.
See, I wish because my mum's
text all day, every day.
My mum's a Facebooker, but she's not
a mum's on Facebook.
Yeah.
She's on Facebook all the time, but we text constantly.
And how do you think being an expat has affected that? Are you closer or further apart?
I actually think we're closer because I'm not... She doesn't get annoyed by me and I don't get annoyed by her.
Yes.
I think sometimes when we're together, if we've been living under the same roof, you know, when I go home for holidays, probably the things that I forgot that annoy each other, they resurface. Whereas when you're away, I just think she's the greatest thing on earth and I'm sure that's how she thinks of me. But then sometimes, and it's like with my sister, I mean, I honestly think my sister is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then get me home for 2 weeks and I could kill her. But we're best friends when we're apart.
It's that thing with family though, is that you adore each other so much and you know each other so well that they can truly really get under your skin because they know what to do to you to get under your skin. Yeah. Like my mother and sister just know to mention that, you know, I can't keep a secret because maybe when I was 5 years old and they were all much older, I couldn't keep a secret. But I'm actually very good at keeping secrets now. And all it takes is one.
Do you know what that my Achilles heel is when my dad calls me, when my dad says you're too sensitive. But I think being sensitive is actually a good trait.
Yeah.
Mike will be sitting there and my dad will say, oh, look, you're too sensitive, girl. I try so hard to be tough and keep those tears in, but my dad's the one person that can just send me into floods.
Because I wonder with you know, this expat life, because I definitely feel that my mum and I are much closer because there is some distance, because we do butt heads if we're in once we're together. I mean, we have a lovely kind of 3 or 4 day honeymoon together. And then, you know, my mum starts a lot of her sentences with you really need to and you should there's never any perhaps you'd like or whatever.
My mum is, look, I don't want to tell you what to do or I'm not interfering, but...
and then we'll just butt heads. But we talk to each other on Facebook every day or every second day. And, you know, we probably we have those epic kind of 3 hour FaceTimes. And they're usually, they're hysterical in that, you know, she's usually, one of us is wearing a nightie and, you know, my dad wanders by with no shirt and a pair of jocks and he's got no idea that she's actually on the computer. And, you know, like her Facebook icon, I think, is her trying to turn on the computer and, you know, dad standing behind. we are very close in that way. And like you said, you don't get on each other's nerves in that same way because you miss each other and you appreciate each other.
So you're just remembering all of the great things about your relationship.
It's a bit lucky, I think, in some ways.
I think so.
People always, you know, feel so sorry for you not to have your family, but I think in some ways you get to really miss them and appreciate them.
And appreciate them because I think about my parents and my sister more now than I think I would if I was just living 5 minutes down the road. I'm constantly thinking about them. And I think one of the biggest concerns for us moving overseas when Sadie was a tiny baby was, is she going to have the relationship with our family that we want her to have? Sadie gets off that plane, runs straight into either my in-laws or my parents, and it's like she saw them yesterday.
Have you ever had the friend at home that kind of looks you in the eye and says, oh, I could never take my children away from their grandparents?
Do you know what really, but you know the other thing that grinds me? I've had a couple of friends to me say, oh, don't you just want to settle? Don't you want to settle? Well, I'm freaking settled. I still do the school run. I still do the grocery shopping. I'm living the same life, but it just happens to be in another country.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not true, Sarah, because you live in a big colonial old house and you drink gin and tonics for months.
I'm sitting on my G&Ts watching the gardener and the cleaning lady and all that.
Someone else is picking up the dog poo.
Yes.
So, Sarah, you found an article in the Wall Street Journal. They have like an expat blog now, don't they?
Yeah. And the article's called To Kiss or Not to Kiss, That is the Question. And it really made me giggle because living in an expat world, you have friends from all walks of life and all different countries.
And we all kiss differently.
And we all kiss differently.
Yes.
So there's sometimes just the one-cheeked kiss, the two-cheeked kiss. I've had a three-cheeked kiss and I mean, my head was just flailing back
and
forth.
When we lived in Libya, we had a lot of Dutch friends as well.
They love a three-kiss.
They love a three-kiss.
Yes.
And Lebanese
they love a three-kiss.
Well. They love a three-kiss.
Yeah.
I find the three-kiss challenging.
Do you know when I find it challenging is when you've walked in to, say, have dinner or lunch or coffee or what have you,
yes,
and they have to do it to the 10 people sitting at the table. Oh. It takes half an hour to say hello.
Yes.
Like when
yes.
I walk into a room and I have to say hello to a lot of people, I just
I
like,
could
hi.
Just wave. Yeah.
And I wave.
Blow a kiss.
Yeah.
Hi, hi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get to the buffet.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Or when you do the two kiss, but they've only got in the one, and I've done it with a friend's husband where we almost like locked lips, and he was like, steady on, Sarah, what's going on?
I do it constantly in Australia, and I hate it because, you know, 15 years of travel, and I'm a definite two kiss person now.
Yeah,
I love the two kiss. I feel comfortable with the two kiss. The two kiss, I'm all over. And I am a kisser, like, I'm a real kisser. But when I go back to Australia, I obviously forget, and you'll go back to one of your oldest, dearest friends. You pull out that two kiss and you've gone posh. Yeah, you've gone posh. Who do you think you are?
What's wrong with you? Yeah.
What do you think you're doing with that two kiss business? Just stop that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's awkward.
But culture, like, do you know what I love seeing? I love seeing the Qatari men do the nose kisses.
Oh, I love that too.
Love it.
I like seeing men do a bit of body contact.
Now, see, my husband, Matt, the most affectionate man you will ever meet.
Yes,
constantly
he is.
Wanting to touch me, hold me. It's like, leave me alone.
He's good on a dance floor as well.
He is. He can dip like there's nobody's business.
Yeah.
But when it comes to his male friendships, if they even think about going in for a hug,
is
he recoils.
Is that a rugby thing? Because he was a good
rugby
player,
wasn't
he?
So when he goes, so he went to boarding school, right? So his friends from boarding school, they're more than friends. They're like brothers. Like you just cannot, there's no one there that can break those boys apart.
Yes, yes.
So Matt and his best friend, Richie, before we get to Richie's house, Matt is just like a five-year-old. He's giddy. He's so excited that he's going to see Richie. It's his man wife. Like they're so in love with each other, it's not funny.
Right.
But they do this awkward handshake where they really actually want to bring each other in and say, so good to see you, I've missed you so much, come here, but they don't. It's just a handshake.
See, I think that's going now. This next generation of boys, they're all into the bro hug. Like my...
We've got a friend that bro hugged Matt the other day and Matt got in the car and said, what the hell just happened? Because he did that kind of, hand slap, chest pump.
Oh, no.
And that's like, Matt, am I Kanye?
He doesn't like, chest pump.
No, no. And then we had a friend coming over from Abu Dhabi to visit. Hi, Rory. He's liked the page, so I know he's going to be listening. Rory hugged Matt the other night.
How did he go?
Well, Matt hugged back, but when we got in the car, he said, Rory hugged me. I'm like, Matt, because you're really good friends, he's missed you. Like, he hasn't seen you in a few months.
Yeah.
He missed you, so he hugged you. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm like, well, we're going on holidays with them next month, so you're going to have to get into the hugging.
In your bathers.
Yeah.
I love seeing blokes have a bit of a hug. And I even, it's funny, when we were home in Australia, we have these really lovely neighbours around the corner. And he kisses all of his bloke friends as well.
Does he?
He's a good Aussie bloke. And he was like, yeah, I love a hug and a kiss. And he's of Greek heritage. So I don't know if that's
part of the culture,
But he loves the cuddle. But I just love seeing men feel really comfortable about touching. Now, the flip side of that that I think took me a little bit longer to get used to is the Indian culture of men holding hands.
So when we first moved to Abu Dhabi, now let me just say right here and right now, I am a fag hag. Yeah. I love my gays.
Yes.
So
yes,
I'm,
you do.
I am, you know, I wave that multicolored flag.
You
like
do.
There's no
high.
Tomorrow.
Very high.
Very high.
Yes.
So we arrive in Abu Dhabi where I knew that you can't be gay in Abu Dhabi. You can't be a lesbian. You can't be gay.
Should we say you can't be?
Well,
openly.
No, sorry. Yes. Sorry. Oh, my God. I'm just like, yes, you can be gay, but you can't openly be gay.
Yeah.
So we arrive in Abu Dhabi. We're staying at this hotel right in the middle of town. And every night we would take Sadie for a walk. Now, Friday night, or I think it's Thursday night, their big night out.
Yes.
So we're walking along, there's all these Indian men holding hands.
Yes.
And I said to Matt, oh, I found the gay area of Abu Dhabi. I am in heaven. And Matt was like, there are a lot of men holding hands. So then, of course, we Googled it and it's just they weren't gay Indians in the centre of Abu Dhabi. It's cultural.
Yeah, it is very cultural. Yeah.
And they do it a lot. Like, they just link hands.
And they're side by side, shoulder to shoulder. Like, they're close.
Yeah.
My other one... that I've done here, because you know you were saying about the Kattery nose kisses, because they do three nose. Well, there's different rules for
how close you are
and where you are in the group and how accepted you are. But two men who are very tight and have respect for each other, they do the three nose touch, and it's beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. I really like it. But obviously, you never see men and women holding hands in the Kattery world. And you never really see them even shaking hands or touching. And, you know, men, I know even men at the office are quite conscious sometimes of even getting into an elevator with a woman on their own.
Yeah.
So obviously the same goes for Western women can't be just willy-nilly going around and kissing Kattery men without making them feel uncomfortable, which is why I chose to do that with my, with my husband's boss.
Oh, and my gosh.
It was one of those
did
things.
Did he recoil?
He recoiled. He did recoil. He looked.
Did you keep on, like, leaning over as he was leaning back?
Oh, I just, it was just like the height of awkward, oh my God, what happened? We've both just realised that this is very awkward and we both need to get out of here right now. And it was, it was.
Was G with you?
Yeah, black tie function. And G was the, he was the MC of the evening, like huge, big black tie, 500 people gala dinner. And so I'd kind of, you know, I'd had my first glass of champagne. I'd loosened up, I guess. And, and I am a big kisser. So, and I'm a real mwah, mwah, you know, to everyone. Really awful, I guess. Like, the picture of that is, oh, God. But, yeah, kissed everyone in the group, got to him and just smacked one on him. Mwah. And then, you know, before I could go for the second.
Was he in his thobe?
He was totally in his thobe. And he just, his eyes just kind of widened like a deer. And mine did too. Because the minute, you know, the minute you do it, you realise. Yeah. You just go, oh, what have I done?
Yeah,
so that's
did you apologise? Did you say anything
about it? No, because it was so awkward. You just couldn't even speak about it. We just both had to agree that it.
And have you seen him since then?
I have, but I think it's going to take me years to forget that.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah, and I will never do it again. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, with our Kattery male friends, there's kind of a nod that happens.
Yeah. Hello and a nod. When I used to work at a school here in Doha, and whenever the owner of the school, who's Kattery, came in, because I'm so used to in the business world shaking someone's hand.
Yes.
And so we would have a lot of Kattery parents come in, the owner of the school, and I literally had to keep my arms behind my back because it is my natural instinct business-wise to stick out my hand and shake.
And it's not to say that I don't.
I hate it when they then offer their hand to you and it's that wet
that
fish.
That limp, wet fish. But, you know, I do have Kattery friends that I do shake hands with and touch, but I think it's, you've just
I think let them lead it.
Yeah. Don't jump in. Yeah.
That's right. So whenever I had someone come into my office, if he offered my hand, I was right there with the shake.
Yeah.
But if not,
yeah,
I just let it go.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah, we're at 29 minutes.
I think that's our longest episode yet.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, everybody, I just wanted to say thank you very much for coming in. We would love it if you could subscribe and leave us a review.
Yeah.
We're trying to get some feedback from people about what you liked, what you didn't like, what you'd like to see more of. So if you could throw that in a review,
if you have any questions,
so
what you'd like us to talk about, let us know.
Anyone you'd like us to interview. But until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.